Doing life together. We're going to be in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you have need a Bible or a sermon outline, raise your hand and we'll get one for you. We want you to have a Bible and a sermon outline so you can follow along with us. If you have your own Bible or you have your own little phone app, I preach and I read from the English Standard Version. Not because it's the best version, just because of the fact that most of us speak English in here, and I want to make it clear to you what I'm saying. Amen. So that's why I use the English Standard Version, because I want you to understand this is what he said, and I just speak English. Amen. Country English, but it's English. It's all right. So Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be, and I know on your outline it probably says verse 13, so we're going to read that. You ready? It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Then verse 14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." The very words of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, that we can come before your presence to worship you as a family. Thank you for meeting us here, God. Thank you for blessing us. And God, we expect, God, you to do something in our lives today. Lord, we expect to leave here better than we came. We expect, God, to hear a word from you. So, Father, I pray, God, that you will speak to me, that I may speak to your people, that we may leave here better than we came. That, Lord, that we may be edified, that you may be glorified, and Satan may be horrified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I entitled this message simply, Serve One Another. Serve one another. We've been going through a lot of the one another's and doing life together, and I've always said that in Christianity, it is hard to live Christianity by yourself. Because Christianity would never live for... was never created for you to live by yourself. It's hard to live, to serve, to be a Christian by yourself, because it's called the body of Christ. If you detach your limb from your body, something's going to happen to it. It's going to wilt up and die, and then it's going to start to stink. You ever make some wilt up and stinking Christians? Don't raise your hand if you made some. But what I determine in our lives is that when we begin to be detached from the body of Christ, we begin to wilt up and die. And we begin to smell. We have smelly attitudes, smelly opinions, because we're not connected with the body of Christ. But when you are a family and you're connected to the body of Christ, you begin to have life. And you begin to have joy. And you begin to have peace. You begin to have love and forgiveness. Amen? And don't the world need to see us having peace, love, and joy beyond the walls of this building? We should go to church every day. I mean, go to our jobs in our community. We have peace. We have joy. We have love because we are part of the body of Christ and we have life. Amen? Amen. And so I encourage us, do life together. Do life together. We're a family. Listen, we're going to be doing life together for eternity. Like I tell people, man, if you don't like me now, you're going to have trouble in heaven because I'm going to be up there. So you got to deal with me now. Just deal with it. We love one another. Amen. And I hope to see you up there, but I know that my salvation is secured in Jesus Christ. Amen, for what he has done. So we're going to talk about serving one another. Serving one another. Now we talk about here, beyond the walls, our mission here is leading people to follow Jesus Christ. And then we say our discipleship process is come and see, come and connect, come and serve. Now, what I believe and what I say as your pastor, we say that a person hasn't fully begun to live as a disciple until they actually have completed the whole process. Come and see, come and connect, and come and serve. Because when you begin to serve one another, you're not thinking about yourself. So we'll talk more about that. But our process here is to get you to come and see Christians loving God, loving one another, then have you connect with God in a personal relationship and connect with other Christians, and then you come and serve in the church and in our community. That's who we are. Service is a part of what we do. But we can only do that when we understand who Christ is. So my key truth is this morning is that when we truly understand who Jesus is and what he accomplished in our lives, Our lives will be marked by love and service to others. When we truly understand who Jesus is and what he accomplished, our lives will be marked by love and service to others. As a song says, he paid the cross. He's victorious. Come as you are, broken and scarred. He can heal your heart. Has anyone's heart been healed by Jesus? Amen. Has anyone been forgiven by Jesus? Amen. Has anyone been set free by Jesus? Amen. So if that's true for you, then do you love people? Do you serve people? Amen. Do people would be able to testify about you? Say, man, look how much he or she loves people. Look at how he or she serves others. That's what it means to have Christ's love given to us, that we begin to live that out in our own lives. Now, when we think about the word serve one another. In Galatians, the word serve in the Greek really means, it says, to be slaves to one another. That's what it means. It means to serve others means the fact that I become your slave. That's what it means to be a slave. Be a slave of others. Say, wow, I didn't think it meant that. I don't want to be nobody's slave. But the Bible says that we are slaves. It does. It said, but you choose to be, he said, either you're a slave of God or you're a slave of sin. That's what he said. But then Paul says, don't be slaves of sin, be slaves of God. Serve God. But then when we're slaves, then we serve one another. So when you make it, when you put it like that and you put it in its proper English, because he said, hey, be slaves to one another. Like, wow, I didn't think about it like that. To be a willing slave of someone else. The family of God, he talks about us. We're to be slaves to one another. Got kind of quiet when I put the word slave to it. Like, man, that didn't even sound good. But that's what it means. I'm telling you what the truth. It means that you're to be a slave to me. I'm your slave to you. And the question is, right, do we really act like and treat and be a slave to one another? We're going to see as we go through the scriptures. If you understand, am I really a slave to you? Do I really serve you like that, like a slave would? Because in our context in America, using the word slave is offensive. I understand it's offensive. It's an offensive term, man. And it should be in our history of our country, in America. Yeah, it is offensive. But from a biblical standpoint, the word slave is not offensive. It really says you should be saying, I'm a slave of God. Paul said, I'm a bond servant, a bond slave. What's a bond slave? It's one who does it by choice. I like what Dr. Tony Evans says about servanthood. He says, servanthood is the willingness to humble oneself and act for the benefit of another in the name of Jesus Christ. That you willingly humble yourself and act for the benefit of another in the name of Jesus Christ. That you willingly become a slave. Say, who would want to be a slave? He said, I want to be a slave of God. But I'm going to do it somebody else's benefit, but I'm doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a slave to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what would happen in our lives if we did that in the church? Or what would happen in our marriages if we truly became slaves to one another? Think about this. This analogy I was just looking at this morning about this guy talking about this guy was home, he was watching television, and he watching the game. Many of us can attest as men. He watched the game. His wife comes and said, hey, baby, can you help me with the dishes? And when she said that, he became offensive. He said, why would I do that? That's your job. I'm not going to do your job. She's like, what? He said, I'm not doing your job. And since you bothered me, I'm going to go over to my boy's house and watch the game because I ain't going to sit here and do your job. Don't get quiet now, man. Ladies' heads are starting to lean back now. The women are with me. I can sense it in my spirit. They with me right now. I got the ladies. They with me. Holler at your boy, ladies. I got you. Pastor got you today. I got you. I got you right where I went. They with me today. I'm going to get cornbread in the morning. Right? But then this older guy said, he came to the other guy's house, and the guy's watching it. He's watching. The other guy's watching TV, too. He's watching the game. Wife walked in, and she said, hey, babe, I'm going to go to bed. And before I go to bed, you know, she gave me a kiss. I'm going to go wash the dish. She said, like, hey, come on, baby, don't do that. I got that. You go to bed. And the young guy looking like, why would you do her job? He said, oh, whoa, bro, that ain't her job. Two of us live here. Why would she wash dishes when both of us both live here? We both live here, so we both need to wash dishes. We both eat here, so we both should be cooking. We both do this. Why would one have to do something when we both live here? And he said, it's not about whose job it is. It's the fact that in a marriage, it's 100%. I give 100%. She give 100%. What we've done, we divide it. Well, yeah, I'm going to get 50. You get 50. What you're really saying, I'm going to give you half of me. I ain't giving you all of me. But imagine if we were slaves, like in our own homes, that we would outdo one another, that we wouldn't say, well, you do this, I do this. But no, I see it needs to be done. I'm just going to do it. Amen? But think about it in church, if we did that in church. We see something needs to be done, we just do it. We don't say, well, that's not my job. I'm not going to do that. We would just do it because we're slaves of one another. Now, I found in this church, in many churches, most pastors, you ask them, what do you always need more of? Now, you think they'd say money. No, they wouldn't say money. They say, we need more volunteers. I don't care how big church is. We need more volunteers. Amen? Why would you need more volunteers around slaves? Why would you need more volunteers, people who are already slaves? Slaves just serve, right? Now, we say that we are slaves of God, right? So, truly, God doesn't need any more volunteers because we already say we're slaves. Sign me up. We're going to talk about Paul talks about when he says, serve one another. Amen? Amen? Serve one another. But I found that there are some things that hinder our service to one another. What hinders us from serving one another? I'm glad you asked. I'm here to tell you. I know y'all want to know. What hinders our service to one another? The first thing that hinders our service to one another is pride. Pride. Like I said, when I said serve one another, it didn't bother you. But when I said be a slave to one another, that was offensive. That now you offended me, pal. You called me a slave. And I ain't nobody's slave. Mama didn't raise no slave. I've been set free in Jesus, so yeah, I ain't no slave. But yet Paul says to them, be a slave to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, be a slave to one another. But our pride keeps us from that. Because we've decided in our minds, some things are just beneath us. Even as Christians. Now, we won't say it, but that's beneath me. I don't do that. I'm not anointed. I'm anointed for greater things than that. I'm not anointed to mop no floors. So that's not my anointing. See, what I found that is that we love to always almost have the preeminence of certain things. I like the spiritual gifts, but I call it the show me gifts. People can see them. I like the spiritual gifts everybody can see. I don't like the behind the scenes gifts. I want people to see me. I want people to see my anointing. I want them to see it. But Jesus says that if you have the praise of people, you've had your reward. But he said if you do it in secret to the Father, then the Father rewards you openly. Amen? It's just positive things, you know? Like coming to church, around about what time last night, baby? 10. I come and drop something off about to go on, you know, taking my wife out to the movies. We was hanging out in my booth. But anyway, TMI, too much information. We was hanging out. So I say, now I got to drop by church, drop something off right quick. So I pulled up here, dropped something off right quick, and I pulled up and I seen a car. Man, who's up in these lights on like at night? They throwing a party up in here? You know, we had a, you know, Saturday evening service. Nobody told me that. Anyway, I pulled up and opened to do my business, and there's Fred in here cleaning up the church. All by himself, playing his little worship music and cleaning up. I made sure I had to call his name. Hey, it's me. I ain't want no heat to come my way. You know, he might be holding his peace. So I said, hey, man, it's me. I thought they say, don't shoot, but he was in church. I said, well, it might not be packing, but I sensed in my spirit he had something on him. But anyway, nobody would have known that. He didn't do it for me to see. I just took like a night. I just show up. He's cleaning the church up. You come, you walk in here today, church clean. You just sitting there cleaning here, right? Isn't it? Amen. Somebody did that. That's right. A slave. Amen. To you. Amen. But if you're a prideful person, you don't think, I don't mop floors. I don't wash windows. My anointing is to speak into your life. But I've always said, if you can't serve me, you're not qualified to speak into my life. Amen. See, many of us want to speak into people's life, but we won't serve nobody. You got to start somewhere. Amen? Amen? Another reason why we don't serve is because selfishness. Selfishness. Me, myself, and I. It's about me. I come to church for me. I don't come for you. I come get money. I come to get me. I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. Remember I said last week, if you only come to church for when you need something, then when you don't need something, you won't come. Because I'm only here to, I come for this for me. I'm not here for you, but if I'm here for, but if I'm here to not only get, but to, for you, then I come when I don't need something because my goal is to bless you. How many of y'all were blessed last week when you prayed for somebody else? Maybe what happened in our church when we stopped and everybody started to pray, and we said, man, that was a watch. We praying for one another, and people praying for one another, blessing one another. They said, man, that was an awesome time. I got to pray for somebody. Somebody needs you to pray for them. So you don't come to church just for you. You come because I'm coming to serve other people. Someone might need a hug today. Somebody might need a word from me today. But I found it so many times in the church, we're very selfish. We're very prideful and we suffer. At the very place that we shouldn't be prideful and selfish, we are. We serve a God who isn't prideful, isn't selfish, yet his people are prideful and selfish. That's why we say we're leading people to follow Jesus Christ. Because when you follow him, you walk in humility. Amen. You walk in love. You walk in peace. You walk in forgiveness. When you follow Jesus Christ, you walk in forgiveness to other people. Because you can't help. If you follow Jesus Christ, you can't help but love me. Because he said love everybody. Amen? How's your servanthood? How do you do with serving other people? Another reason why we don't serve is because of consumerism. Consumerism in the church. And what we have done, and especially in the church, see, if I don't like it here, I can go somewhere else and get it somewhere else. It's called shopping. We shop church. And you know, we all love a bargain. Ain't that right, sisters? Amen? Sisters love something on sale. I come tell me, baby, what's that? Don't worry about it. I got it on sale. Well, because I'm selling me, you got to buy it because it's on sale, baby. I mean, it still costs something. But no, I got this on sale. And many of us want Jesus on sale. We come to church, I want a good preaching, some good singing. I want some comfortable seats. I want some hot coffee and a soft donut. And I want it all for free. And if you don't have it, I'm going to the next church. They got Starbucks coffee over there. Starbucks coffee. Flavored stuff going in your coffee. They down there get that. It's called consumerism. And we believe in, I remember now, if you work in a people culture, consumerism, what do they always tell you in the consumer? The customer's always what? No, not in churches, not. No, you might not be. You might be wrong. Christ is always right. Amen. It ain't about you. We're not here to make it comfortable for you. Well, I don't like it here. It ain't about you. It's about us. It really is. See, I tell you all the time, the people that get mad at me about serving are the ones that are not serving. The people who are serving, they're happy I said it. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. The people who are not serving, they mad. I can't believe he said that. Tired of him always. I come in, he say, I know you're talking about me. No, you talking, if you ain't serving. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Yep. Yep, I am. I'm not afraid. I'm not a man. I'm not scared of you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm a grown man. With grown kids, I speak what I want to say. Yeah, I'm not mad. Yeah, I'm talking about you. You can catch me outside. I'm joking. Okay. I'm going to keep that same energy when you see me. But many of us do that. We come to church and like, if someone offended, like, okay, I'm offended. Like, and why are you offended? Like I always say, man, hit dogs, holler. Just take a rock and throw it in a pack of dogs. Which one to holler? Oh, that's the one I hit. That's the one. I got him. I hit the right one. But Paul is talking about be slaves to one another. But pride, selfishness, and consumerism. And it's in the church. It really is. It's in the body of Christ. I want to come here and don't ask me to serve or give anything. But I'll shout you out of here. I'll shout and sweat and, ooh, Holy Ghost filter. But your non-serving self. I know y'all. I know it's right. I know it's tight, but hey, I'm on one today. Don't at me. I'm blocking my number. Don't call. But let's talk about some truths about servanthood. Because listen now, you know, when we talk about, Paul says you were called to freedom. I mean, God did the calling, set you free. But what he says is don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Amen, baby. See, babies don't bother me. I just preach louder. Babies don't bother me. I had three babies. They just sat right there and we just preached. I'm okay. All right? So babies ain't got to go outside. I'm just preaching even louder. Amen. We love the babies. Amen. So don't feel bad. Baby can say right here. I had three. They was right there. Well, Junior was on the seat while I was preaching. He'd be on the seat looking. Seriously, he was the baby. He was running the seat just looking. I'm just shaking my head like, wow. That son of mine is on the seat. But anyway, getting back to the Word of God. Do you know, here's some truths about servanthood. Number one, every Christian has been called to serve. Wow. That's deep, isn't it? Remember I said the word serve means to be what now? Save. So everyone has been called to be a what?
Slave.
Wow. Everyone has been called to be a slave. A slave to Jesus Christ. Now how do you serve God? Do you know how you serve God? By serving others. Wow. You serve God by serving someone else. Because what does God really need? He's an all-sufficient one, isn't he? But your brothers and sisters need some from you. Amen? You serve God by serving others. Every Christian has been called to serve. Now, when we talk about, no one said, hey, what's your calling? A slave. That don't sound good, does it? Well, I've been called to be Archbishop, Chief Apostle. Yeah, Suffolk Bishop of the Second Diocese of the Church of Christ. But no, every Christian has been called to serve, though, really. We've been called to serve one another. Many people don't want to do that. The pride gets in the way. See, many people, and we're not many Christians, I won't say, I'm not sure, not Christians, I'm talking to Christians today, disciples. This is for us. When we say we love one another, what does that really mean? When we say we want to serve, what does it mean? You shouldn't serve only when someone can see you. You should do it when no one can see you. That's when no one sees you doing it. No one knows. But the Father sees you, amen? He sees all things. Every Christian has been called to serve, as Jesus did. Point two. Now also, serving one another puts action to the word love. Serving one another puts action to the word love. Hey, I love you. What does that really mean? If I don't serve you, does it really mean I love you? See, to love someone is to serve someone. Right. Amen?
Amen?
It's to serve someone. To look out for their benefit over yours. To do what's best for them over your own benefit. As Paul says in Philippians 2, no, don't look out for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others over your own. Put people above your own interests. Serve others over you. When we say we love one another, what does that mean? Hey, I love you. What does that mean? What does it really mean? Sometimes it's empty words because it's not filled with any action. See, the love of Christ calls us to serve each other as Christ has served us. The love of Christ calls us to serve each other as Christ has served us. Jesus Christ said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know God has served you? That Jesus Christ served you? How did he serve you? Did it benefit Christ to die for you? No. He was sinless. But he came down, he humbled himself and served you by dying on the cross for your benefit in the name of God. He did it for us. And we should serve one another for each other's benefit. And see, and when we serve others, it sets us free from the bondage of worldliness. Serving others sets us free from the bondage of worldliness. That's why it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. All in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those things are not of God. See, when you begin to serve other people, you begin to humble yourself because it's not about what you have, who you are, and what you mean. Hey, you know, I'm somebody out in the world, so, you know, I'm coming here. I don't serve anybody because I get served on my job, so I'm coming here to be served. No, when you come in here, you're a slave. Amen? We're slaves to the body of Christ. And the problem with most people when they come to church, they think who they are out in the world makes them somebody up in here. You know what I mean? Well, I'm CEO, I'm manager of my company. So when I walk in here, I want to, you know, pastor, I want you to know who I am. You know, I'm such and such. Okay, thank you very much. God bless you. We love you. Well, you know, I like to speak every now and then if you let me. No, bro. There's a mop and broom for you. Join the facilities. Start there. And they say, well, why are you guys about to start there? Why not? If you can't serve God's people, why can't you? Why should you be here to proclaim and preach to God's people? Amen. Why would you? If you can't serve God, why would you want to speak into someone's life when you wouldn't serve them? Right. Jesus served. Amen. He said he's humbled himself and left heaven, and came down and humbled himself and became a man. So when we serve, it takes away all the worldliness out of us. It humbles us. Nothing humbles you like cleaning bathrooms. Hello? Anybody did it before? I did. My first job in the church was clean the church up. Cleaning bathrooms. And I enjoyed it. I mean, hey, you're doing it for the Lord's people, you know, make sure they got toilet tissue, you know, in there. It's okay. That's during the service. You went to the bathroom with no toilet tissue in there? That's not a good feeling, is it? I'm just saying, I mean, I'm being basic stuff, right? That's serving somebody. Hey, make sure that's in there for you, right? He's like, thank you. Somebody put that in there. I didn't get there by faith. Somebody put that in there, right? Simple. I'm like, we complicate some stuff that's very simple. Somebody had to do that. But who did it? We don't think about that. We just assume, expect, hey, it's going to be something there. But we got to serve one another. Not be worldly in our lives. See, the enemy of serving one another is idleness. The Bible speaks about being idle. When we become too idle, mean you just sitting idle, you're not doing anything. When you sit there and do nothing, you have more time to critique other people. I'm serious. When you idle, you judge everybody. Man, that praise team, they went on it. They were not on it this Sunday. I didn't feel nothing. They must be in sin because the Spirit did not move me. Them notes was not good. I just didn't feel it. But you ain't serving on no ministry. But you critiquing everything. You are the professional critiquer. And the pastor, that sermon did nothing for me. The anointing was not on him today. I know. I know the anointing. And he didn't have it. Think about it. You ain't doing anything. Man, that baby was so loud. I can hear nothing. The pastor said, baby just loud. But you ain't serving in the nursery anywhere. Hello? Nobody greeted me at the door with no bulletin or nothing. I just watched to find my own way up in here. But you can serve on no usher's ministry. Man, that music was too loud. The PowerPoint, he misspelled a word up there on the PowerPoint. Boy, they need to get better with that. They check their grammar. I don't preach it coming to church, and that's just very unprofessional. You can serve on no AV. Hello? But you're so anointed, though. Oh, I'm anointed by God. But you serve nowhere in the church. Jesus says, we want to follow, lead people to follow Jesus Christ. If he was here, he would serve somewhere. Amen. Hello? I just believe if Jesus was here, a part of the building, he'll serve somewhere. What do you think? Am I by myself? I believe he'll serve somewhere. I just believe that. He would. So if I'm following Jesus Christ, I'm going to find somewhere to serve because he would. Well, Pastor, I can't serve because I'm an apostle. There's no apostles ministry, so I don't serve until y'all get some apostles. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. Some of the crazy stuff I hear, man, just amazes me. But we all can serve. But when you become idle, you complain, you critique, and you are disgruntled because you have no hands in anything. You know what I'm talking about? You know, ladies, some of you, husband come home and want to, you know, we ask you what you got. Oh, we got this for dinner. I don't like that. Now, what do you say? Well, cook it yourself then. You don't like what I got to eat, but what I'm serving, you get in here and cook. Right? Amen? Right? Ladies, you know, y'all said the heartbeat. This is it. Eat this or nothing. I'm tired too. You know, your kids come home. Mom, I don't want that. They get a backhand. Get up out of here. You better eat that. You want that sandwich? You want this ring across your mouth? I'll take a sandwich, Mama. Don't become into what you don't want. You don't cook. I don't like to eat that. Okay, don't eat it. But you're idle, though. How many of us complain a lot about the church? Remember I said, the church would be as good as you make it. Really? I don't like this church. We really think you don't like you. Hello? What are you doing to make it better? And never come up for ideas with people to do that you won't do. I think we should be doing this. Really, we should. What I'm really saying, I think you should be doing that, Pastor. Won't you lead them? Well, no, I'm kind of, you know, a job keep me. Okay, well, you ain't talking about we, you talking about me. I got enough to do. Think about it. A lot of bright ideas, not a lot of people to put them forth. So I want to look at a powerful illustration of serving one another since we're following Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 13. John chapter 13, what it looks like to be a slave. John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Wait to see some page still turning, so we're going to wait. John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It says, now before the feast of Passover, which Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See that word love? He loved them. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a bath then. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Notice that? Servant, master, slave, master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Wow. Isn't that powerful? A powerful illustration. What is Jesus doing? I believe that when we serve one another, we are acting like Jesus. That's what it says. When we serve one another, we are acting like Jesus Christ. Jesus, he knew who he was. Do you want to act like Jesus Christ? Serve one another. Serve one another. And see, it's also the higher your position means you should have the greatest servant attitude. Amen. Now here's Jesus. He's there. He said, they called him what? Lord and teacher. He said that. You're right. That's who I am. I'm Lord and teacher. Now I noticed this, that in the verses it said that Jesus knew something. He says that verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. That's key. Jesus knew who he was. See, I believe this. I wrote down, when you know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to try to convince others of who you are. Amen. So I'm saying that again for some of y'all. Some of y'all need, when you know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to try to convince others of who you are. In other words, if you are who you say you are, people would know by themselves. You ain't got to say anything. As the Bible says, let others praise you and not your own lips. When you are really who you say you are and you love people and you all that, others will say it about you. You, that's a bad sister right there. That man, that's a blessed brother right there. You ain't got to say nothing about yourself. Some of us, man, I'll honor so long, we always pat ourselves on the back. Ooh, I did this, I did that. Patting ourselves on the back. No, stop patting yourself on the back. Amen. Let God do it. Amen. See, Jesus knew who he was. That's why he could humble himself. Because he knew who he was. See, many of us, really, we won't humble ourselves because we don't know who we are or whose we are. Amen. So we won't stoop down because we're too high and mighty of ourselves. We think too highly of ourselves. That's why we won't serve nobody. Because we think too high. high of ourselves. And we won't serve anyone. When you know who you are, there's no job too low for you. Isn't that true? When you really know who you are, there's no job too low for you. But many of us, see, what Jesus did, he did what anybody could have done. But most of them wouldn't do. So most times it's not that, you know, it's a, now Jesus was anointed. Wasn't he anointed? Amen. Anointed, right? But yeah, he was washing feet. Any one of them could have done that. But they chose not to do it. He said, well, why? What's so big deal of that? Because Jesus recognized that they had all had dirty feet. Now, they were doing the Passover in someone's house. And normally in someone's house, when guests come in, there's a slave at the door with a bucket of water to greet them and say, hey, wash your feet and then we eat. But there was no slave at the door. So all the disciples were sitting down. Now, I want you to understand that they saw those dirty feet as Jesus did. They saw it. They saw the same thing that Jesus saw, but they wasn't moved as he was moved. What moved Jesus to do that? It said the verse says that he loved his own who were in the world. What moved him to wash their feet was he loved them. See, when you love somebody, you don't wait to do for somebody to do what anybody can do. You just do it. Trash out there, I just go pick it up. I say, oh, well, somebody else will get that. I'm not anointed to pick up trash. I don't do that. I'm somebody on my job, so I rose to the ranks of that, I can't come here and do that. Really? Who are you? Whose are you? The higher you go, the greater should be your service. Right? It should be that way. But sometimes in the church it's not that way. The higher we supposed to say we go, the more we have people serving on us. You know, not knocking anybody, you know, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm saying, you know, we have these preachers and they have a whole pit of men in front of them, men in back of them, the side of them, escorting them in, they be, get out the way! Get out the way! Pastor coming through, everybody grabbing and hugging the wall. And the guy saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. Can't even touch the pastor. Jesus could be touched, but you can't be touched. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus could be touched, but you can't. Don't touch me right now because anointing might flow out of me. Really? We need something to flow. It's flowing all right out of you already. But it's not the anointing. It's not. Some of y'all to catch that. But it's not that. It's not the anointing that's flowing. But Jesus began to, but now think about it. Jesus washing their feet, right? And he comes to Peter. Now, we love Peter. Sometimes Peter just needs to quit. Remember Peter. Here comes Jesus washing. Everybody getting their feet washed. And Peter now wants to be the spiritual one. Oh, don't, hey, Jesus. Leave my feet alone. Because you know, you the Lord. Jesus, don't wash my feet. Like, now, them jokers over there, they lazy. I'm anointed. Don't wash. I'm anointed for dirty feet. Don't wash mine. He said, Peter, come on. If you really was like that, you'd have been washing these feet, and I'm going to have to be out here. So, Peter, come on. Right. See, sometimes, remember, we can be idle. We can, I don't do that. Jesus said, Peter, I don't wash your feet, now you have no part with me. Then Peter went too far to the street. Well, okay, give me just a bath. Peter, you're grown. I'm not washing you. You're a grown man. I ain't doing that. I'm going to wash your feet, Peter. That's it. How are you? Are you idle? Are you complacent? Do you critique your brothers and sisters who are trying to do the best they can to serve the Lord? And you doing nothing? Do you critique them? Do you pray for them or do you serve them? Have you put your hand to the plow? Do you love the brothers and sisters of Beyond the Walls Community Church? Without you saying it, would your actions show that you really love us? You didn't have to say another word, but could your actions prove to us that you love us? By how you treat, how you, what you do. Could it or could it not? Because Jesus said, by this all men will know you, my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's not just saying it, it's serving. Jesus took off his outer garments and humbled himself. Kind of a picture of what he did in heaven. He took off his glory, unrolled himself, and came down in the form of a human servant. He took off his glory garments and came down and lived among us. He tabernacled. So here's the Lord taking off his glory and coming down and serving you. The Lord, the teacher, washing feet. Now many of us, if it was in our day, we'd be Facebooking it. Jesus, washing my feet, look at my Facebook page. Jesus out there serving me. What's a snapshot of your life? Is it serving or being served? Don't get me wrong, now many of us love to be served. Love to be pampered. Makes us feel special. But in God's economy, it's better to serve than to be served. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Wow. Isn't that how he flips that on his head? So I believe this, that when we refuse to serve one another, we are acting like Satan, who wanted the preeminence over God. Now the key word I said is when we refuse to serve one another, we are acting like Satan, who wanted the preeminence over God. You know what God, Satan kicked out of heaven? Because he wanted the praise. He wanted to raise his throne above God's throne. He wanted to be seen. Look at me. Worship me. It's about me. No, God said, no, it ain't about you. When we refuse to serve one another. But how can we refuse to serve one another if we love one another, right? I want to follow Jesus. And I want to serve as he did. I want to be known as someone who's not afraid to do anything in the church that needs to be done. Because it's about glorifying God. And we all had that attitude and gave not 50% of ourselves to the church, but 100% of ourselves to the church. What would happen in the body of Christ if we tried to outdo one another in being slaves? What would happen in our fellowship? What would happen? People are like, wow, look at them. Truly God is among them. Because they're living and acting like Jesus. And truth be told, is there is a blessing in serving others. There is a blessing in serving others. Is that true? Amen. Point six. There's a blessing in serving others. And we should do that. And we should look for that to happen, you know. Look at Matthew chapter 35. I'm sorry, Matthew 25. Thank you. I'll just check and make sure y'all was awake. Thank you for serving me. Correcting me. Amen. Matthew chapter 25. Look what it says in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger or welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Amen. Truly, when you serve other people, you're really serving God. Amen. That's what it means. That when you serve someone, you're actually serving God. And you will stand before God, and God will say, hey, enter into the joy of your rest, you who are blessed by my Father, because you served me faithfully. In many different areas. And the thing they're saying, when did we do this? When did we do this? They said, we just did. So service just normally serve, right? They went about just doing it. Maybe not for just being told, they just did it. I love a God. And think about this, you know, when we think about serving other people. See, a lot of people come to church and say, Pastor, what can I do? What do you need me to serve? What do you need me to do? See, that's a service heart. Not saying, well, you know, I only serve, you know, a certain place. I'm only anointed for certain things. I don't do the other stuff. But when they say, you know, where do you need me to serve? What's the greatest need? I want to serve Jesus. I want to do what he's calling me. I want to glorify God. God can bless a life like that. See, many people, not all the people, many people, they love the stage. They feel that's to me. You made it, man. When you, man, you on stage, you made it, boy. You somebody. Be careful what you ask for. Just put that. Be careful what you ask for. It ain't what people think it is. Oh man, I want to be on the stage. I can do what Pastor do. I mean, he ain't all that. I'm not all that. Really, I'm not. Jesus is all that. I'm not me. He's all that. But people don't understand. Oh, he just up there. He just asking me to serve, but he don't serve. Oh, you don't know my story. See, you don't know my story. You can say that. Even here beyond the wall, people don't know. I did every ministry at the church when we started. Every one, I did. Most of them, yeah. Saturday morning, getting up, loading the sign into my car, putting it by the school. I did that. After service, go out, hug everybody, go pick it up myself, pick it up, put it back in the car and leave. But people, I did that. Rain or shine, the sign was going to be out there. I did that. I served. Still serving. Amen. Friday before I leave, I look in the bathroom, make sure there's some tissue in there, make sure everybody's good to go. Still serve. So if I can serve, you think I'm not going to ask you to serve? Yeah, I'm going to ask you. Yeah, I'm going to ask you to serve somewhere in the church. I'm going to ask you. Because the Bible says, I'm going to tell you, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. And I expect you to serve. I'm going to ask you to serve somewhere in the ministry of our church. We have ministries you can serve somewhere. God ain't going to bring you here. God, I don't believe that the God I serve is going to bring you to Beyond the Walls Community Church for you to sit and do nothing. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He's going to call you here. First of all, to himself, then to us, then to service. Amen. Somewhere in the church. He's going to call you. We ain't got too many ministries now. Ain't no five-fold ministry going on here. Ain't no one of the ministries laying on hands every week. But you have some ministry you can serve. Right? We have a couple of ministries. And they'll love to have you serve. The ushers will love to have you. They ain't turning you down. They're going to love to have you. Right, ushers? They love to have more. AB would love to have you somewhere. See what I'm saying? Love to have you. See, they'll love to have you. Children ministry, love to have you. They'll love to have you. Amen? The Phillies love to have you. They'll love to have you help us. They'll love to have you. They'll love you. Praise team. Well, I don't know, man. Okay. So they're like, I don't know, Pastor, but be quiet down. Okay. All right, praise. I got it. All right. Okay. Okay. I went too far, praise team. I went too far. Okay. I went too far. Oh, my bad. Man, I went too far. Praise Jesus. Okay. Wow. Went too far. Okay. They may love to have you, but we want you to serve. So we may love you. But we want you to serve somewhere. Amen. But ask yourself, do we got outreach ministry not coming up? Outreach team, serve over there. That's coming too. That's here. There's other ministries that you think about starting, but you got to, hey,
Don't ask others to do it. You ain't going to do it. Don't ask me to do it.
I think we should have this.
Well, really?
You going to lead that? Well, okay.
Right? But what we want you to do is see your faithfulness in doing serving somebody else's ministry before you try to create your own. Can you serve one of these first and be faithful? Because that's going to show me how you are. That, oh, I can see real quick the consistency. Let me just see you, watch you for a while, see what happens.
They will know. Because what God wants and what I like is for you to be consistent.
Yeah. See, you, anybody can be what I call a one-hit wonder. Anybody can have one hit song. Can't make another and another and another. It's different. Be consistent and watch what God does. God will honor consistency. Where you consistently serve, God will honor that. Where you just show up and do what you say you're going to do every time, be consistent, God will honor that. Really. And your church will love that too.
Amen.
When you are consistent, when you say you're going to be where you're going to be, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you're consistent, watch what happens. People will love that. But what happens is this. Galatians says this, and I want us to go back to that. We have been set free, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Verse 14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But he says this, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Remember I said, when you are idle, what do you start to do? Bite and devour one another. Then you are consumed by one another. Now I want you to know, sheep don't bite and devour one another.
Right.
They don't. Wolves do.
Right.
Sheep don't. So when you're a sheep of God, you don't bite and devour where you're gentle. Wolves do that. I believe God wants us to increase and multiply. You heard about us. Our theme is multiply.
Right.
We want to multiply leaders. Well, first of all, disciples, leaders, and ministries, and connection groups. I believe God wants us to multiply. I believe that.
Amen.
Now, some of you say, well, that's you. I believe God wants us to multiply.
Amen.
And you know God, you want God to multiply you.
Right.
Many of us say, don't complain about God multiplying our finances. We praise God. Oh, I got a raise. That's multiply. That's increase, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't God want to increase our church? For souls being saved, right?
Right.
But it takes us being a part of that, right? Do we love our community?
Yeah.
Are we going to serve our community?
Yeah.
I believe God wants us to multiply. This is a year for multiply. But we have to begin to live life together. We have to start doing life together and stop getting out of our pride, our selfishness, our consumerism, and watch what God does. This year, we're going to multiply. Disciples. People should be coming to our church getting saved. They should. I expect people to get saved.
Right.
It's like going to the baby ward and not expect no babies to be born. I expect babies. I expect people to be getting born here, born again, right?
Amen.
Make disciples and serve one another. But that only happens when we put our faith together. And believe together and serve one another together and watch what God does. So this year, God's going to challenge us in some areas of faith, our church. And I'll be talking more about that as a year, but God's going to challenge us in that area of faith. We've been at this mountain too long. And God is challenging some of you in your faith. He's saying to you, you've been at that position, that complacent position too long. You've been at the same attitude so too long. You've been acting the same way for too long. It's time to stop doing that. Stop being complacent. The attitude got to change. And the reason why you don't see multiplication and spiritual increase in your life is because of your attitude. The same attitude you have. God doesn't bless that. He blessed those of people of faith, people of love and action. And some of you haven't spiritually grown
in years. You haven't. And you've been at Beyond the Walls for a while. You haven't spiritually grown at all. It's not because the food ain't been hot. It's been ready for you. You just like eating Skittles than eating a well-balanced meal. You like chocolate. And you have spiritual cavities. Rotten. And God is saying, when are you going to grow? And I have more for you. See, some of us going to get to heaven and never going to hear God say, hey, bless, enter, blessed of you, blessed by my Father. Some of us we're never going to hear, we're going to be saved, but you won't hear Jesus say to you, hey, blessed of my Father, come on in. Because you've done nothing for the kingdom. You're at the same way you were 5 years ago spiritually. You haven't conquered any new territory. And you wonder why. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must first believe that who he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Some of you are not seeking God. You just maintain it. You're not seeking him. Because your spiritual walk is where it's been since I've known you. I'm your pastor. I love you. It's been the same since I've known you. It hasn't gotten better. Same spot. That's not multiplication. God wants us to multiply and take more territory for his kingdom. See, the reason Joshua could go into the promised land and Moses could, but the people he had with him didn't believe they could go. They said, Moses, we ain't going. Then they had to die off. Then God said, now, after they dead, now we can go. But then when they went, he had some soldiers with him. He said, now I need you to go. What about you? What about your faith? What territory can you conquer for the Lord? Are you ready to fight spiritually? We had to go into a spiritual battle, like, you know, spiritually pray and get and release it. Are you, can I count on you to do that? Say, oh, you can count on me, Pastor, I'm ready. Most of you, a little too hard. It's going to take too much commitment. I'm only going to give you an hour and a half on Sunday. If God don't do it then, Pastor, it ain't going to get done. Think about that. I'm gonna give you two Sundays out of the month, Pastor, when I'm here. And I hope God do something, because the other two, it's mine. That's how we live. That's how we live as Christians. And wonder why God hasn't done exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Because what God wants is faith, and that's routine. I don't see no faith in that. God said, see, there are 2,000 in the Bible when God said, wow, I haven't seen such as faith as that. And it was two Gentiles. One was the woman with her daughter was demon-possessed. She said, Jesus, my daughter's demon-possessed. Can you come? And he said, listen, I can't get the food to the dog. She said, nevertheless, hey. Even the dog want a crumb. He said, wow, search faith. Then the other was a centurion, and his son was sick, a demon. And he said, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus said, I go. We said, Jesus, don't even go. Just say a word, and my son will be healed. He said, wow, I haven't seen such faith as that to take Jesus at his word. What about you? Have you taken Jesus at his word? Or are you still at the bottom of the mountain, just going in circles, spiritually? You ain't conquered no land. And God is saying, it's time to come up this mountain. I'm waiting for you. But you're still down here. 2019, we're going up the mountain. Now, we want to go with you. We want you to go with us. But we're going with or without you to the mountain. We're going up the mountain with or without you. And God's calling me to love the faith and commitment. So if God's calling me to that, he's calling you to it too. Amen. So we're going to call all of you to a level of commitment to faith to say, hey, are you going to be with us or are you not? Are you ride with us or are you not? But we're going to follow Jesus here. Amen. And we ain't going to apologize. We're not going to apologize for living in faith and being committed. We ain't going to apologize. We ain't going to make excuses. We're going to say, that's what we're doing here. And I want to be honest with you and be frank with you as your pastor. Just anyone knows, I want to be frank with you. Every year I do an audit of our membership. And there were some people that hadn't been in our church in 6 or 7 months. I released them from my membership of our church. I sent them a letter and I released them. We don't have inactive members in our church. I don't have inactive members. We have active members who want to serve and participate in the life of Beyond the Walls. Some people, I gave them a letter. I released them because you signed a covenant that you didn't keep. So we're responsible to you because you're responsible to us. We love you. We pray for you. But I'm not your pastor. And God's not going to hold me accountable for your walk because you're not wanting to be a part of what we're doing. So some people, I say, I'm not your pastor anymore. I love you. I pray for you. Now, that's the most loving thing I can do for somebody. Because if you ain't happy here, go somewhere else and serve. But if you're going to be here, we want you to serve and be happy here. We want to serve one another. Amen?
Amen.
So how do we take it beyond the walls? Go out of your way to serve one another. And look for opportunities to bless someone and serve in an area of ministry at our church. Go out your way to serve someone. Look, what needs to be done? Serve someone. And I believe if we do that, not only will we multiply disciples and leaders, ministries and connection groups, we'll have folks fight to serve in some area. Amen.